As you could tell from Glory B, Anna is out. She's on a short mini trip. So I'm batching it today. Bachelor again. Bachelor with two kids whose wife is coming home tomorrow. So I thought I would tell you a couple of stories from my bachelor days. So I was thinking of that. I know I already told you the story of the fish tank. When my roommate found my old fish tank in a closet and wanted to set it up, so we spent all this money and set it up, and then you're supposed to let the water sit there for 2 weeks to, I don't know, grow some algae or something before you put fish in, and then, we never went and got fish. Absolutely no explanation for that other than sheer laziness. And slowly the water evaporated and the algae replaced it on the glass. So that was a bachelor story for you. A couple years before that, when I was still a junior in college, I lived with four guys in a house that was on the parking lot of Calvary Baptist Church in Roseville, Minnesota. We were all youth volunteers, and that was the youth intern house. And it was a mess. I'm actually a relatively clean, organized guy now. And not just because I got married. I got there eventually through my bachelor years, but I was terrible when I started out. No dishwasher in that house, and we all just let those dishes pile up. I mean, it was terrible. You know, macaroni at the bottom of the pile, just moldy, and it was just terrible. Disgusting. Only thing that would get us to wash them, of course, is when you ran out of plates and cups. And so that's the way we did things back then. Then that thought made me think of another story from that year living in that house. So we had four male youth interns living in that house. And for some reason, there was only one female intern that year, and I think she felt ripped off that she didn't get a house, you know. So she told, she was lobbying for a key. She told the youth leader that she wanted to be able to meet with teens in the house. Remember, it was right on the parking lot there, so that was convenient. She wanted to meet with teens there like we could, so she wanted to have a key. She got one, and I'll tell you how she used it. She had some teen girls over to her apartment one night for a sleepover, and in the middle of the night, they came to our house. They didn't break in because she had a key. So they walked in, armed with lipstick to draw lipstick all over our faces as we slept. And I can tell you how I found out about that, is I rolled over in my sleep, opened my eyes, and all I saw was the dark outline of somebody's head right above mine. And holy cow, that got my heart beating. I yelled out loud, and of course, that freaked her out. And so she screamed, and she went running out of the room, and I went running after her, which seems like kind of a manly reaction. I didn't just cower in the corner. I was like, going to protect. But she beat me out of the house. By the time I'd gotten downstairs, I kind of had started to figure out what was going on, and they were gone. Some of the other guys were coming out of their rooms, and we were talking about what happened. And then Jamie, the guy that I started go fish with, he comes wandering out of his room, lipstick all over his face, and he's like, "What's going on? What's going on?" Last story then, back to the apartment of the fish tank, which was also me and Jamie. It was time to move out of that apartment, and you know, when you're going to move out, you got to go through the checklist and do all your cleaning, otherwise you don't get your security deposit back, right? And so here's my last bachelor moment for you. I went to clean the refrigerator. There were eggs in the refrigerator that must have been there for months, untouched. And so I touched one because I was going to throw them away. And before my fingers had even, like, actually really touched them, the thing just collapsed internally. And this rotten egg smell, like you wouldn't believe, just took over the apartment. And no matter how much scrubbing we did, that smell was in the apartment for, I think, 4 or 5 days, probably longer in the fridge. It was just terrible. So anyway, as I was thinking about bachelor stories for you today, those are the things that came to mind. I thought I'd share them with you. Everything will probably fall apart over the next 24 hours, and Anna will have to come put me back together again tomorrow. But just for fun. All right, so let's get into our sermon, and I need to tell you that I decided that I need a little more time to finish prepping and writing my final two Daniel sermons for us. You may have noticed that the prophecy stuff's a little complicated, and I'm really wanting to do those sermons well for you. So no Daniel again this Sunday. I've pivoted instead to a different topic for us. The Lord Jesus Christ mercifully has made a way for us to all be looked at as sinless by our Creator, even though in reality we all still sin. You know this. However, that way that he opened for us, the way to salvation, is accessed not just through belief in him, but also through a heart turn away from sin, right? This is called repentance in the Bible. We're supposed to intend to and really try to not sin any longer. That's repentance. We turn our hearts away from sin and from self-rule, and we turn them instead to God and submitting to his rule. And we'll never fully succeed in not sinning in this world, but the good news is that we can get better at behaving in the ways the Lord asks us to. I think the typical experience probably is that some sins are fairly easy to move aside once you've made that commitment to follow Jesus and obey his commands, and some are not so easy. And some of the wrong behaviors that we've gotten into are downright entrenched within us, and breaking free from them is more than not easy. But God has called us to continue to pursue living in righteous ways, and so we can't give up, can we? I'd guess that most of us have something in that category, some behavior that we want to change, but we keep ending up right back there. And that's the kind of scenario that I want to talk about today. My question for this morning's sermon is, how do we get from here to there? How do we get from where we are in regards to sin in our lives to where we want to be? And I've got a whole list of ideas for you this morning. This is one of my occasional list sermons where I throw a bunch of thoughts at you in the hope that something's going to stick. And I am hopeful that that one or more of these ideas really will bring a new focus to you in your battle against sin, something that will help you find success. Sin's a really big deal. It can ruin our lives very quickly. At other times, it can ruin our lives slowly and sneakily. It can hurt those around us. It can render us ineffective for God in this world, and so forth. God has very good reasons for asking us to stay away from the things he asks us to stay away from, and we should be putting our full effort into eliminating sin in our lives. Now, ridding ourselves of certain sins may actually, some things may require professional counseling. In some scenarios, a sermon like today's might not cut it, but I'm trusting that most of you will be able to find something here today that's of assistance to you in your life. So let's get rolling. How do we get from here to there? This is help for changing our behaviors. Before getting into my list of helps, I believe it's wise for us to think a bit about the kinds of things that lead us into sinful behaviors. So let's start with that. Why do people sin? Well, sometimes we sin just because we have the desire to sin, right? That's simplistic but true. The apple in the Garden of Eden looked appealing to eat, even though God had forbidden Adam and Eve from it, and then the enemy came along and whispered words that made it look even more appealing, right? Boom, sinful desire was born, and sinful desire led to sinful behavior. It's the same with us today. There are behaviors, there are activities out there that look appealing to us, even though we know God has forbidden them. In fact, you may have even participated in some of those activities and discovered that they do feel pleasurable when you engage in them, and you start to think that maybe the enemy was right, up until the consequences that God tried to save you from start showing up. And then you realize God was right all along. Though maybe you're still tempted. We have a flesh nature, the Bible says. There are going to be impulses and temptations while living in this world. It's the way it is. Let's acknowledge it. Sinful desire, obviously, is a cause of sinful behavior. I don't think it's the only cause, though. I believe that mixed in with sinful desire, there are other things that move us toward sinful acts, things like anxiety or depression. Maybe you have a totally inaccurate view of yourself that's bumming you out and making you feel like you're worthless. And maybe life becomes so painful due to these things that you seek an escape through sinful behavior. I think sometimes we do sinful things out of boredom or loneliness. Maybe you just feel numb and bored with life, and so you seek to get a rush out of sin. Stress can at times lead us into sinful behavior. Social pressure at times can lead us into sinful behavior. So in our battle against sin, we ought to spend some time thinking about why we can't let go of that behavior we're trying to let go of. What's the root cause that's leading us into that? You know, ask yourself, is it a spiritual health issue? Is there something off in my walk with God right now that's leading me to desire sin? Is it a mental health issue, anxiety or depression, feelings of worthlessness? Maybe stress fits in there. Maybe it's a physical thing. Maybe you've actually developed an actual physical addiction. Is it a social health thing? Boredom, loneliness, social pressure. There can be multiple reasons mixing together. But when you become aware of what is leading you into that sinful behavior, you can then focus your efforts on trying to, get healthy in that area of life that's gotten off target. All right, so there can be multiple causes of getting stuck in sinful behaviors. I want to offer some possible solutions. Feel free to grab a pen and write down on your bulletins any of these things that stick out to you today, and then take these ideas home with you and get them applied. My list will begin with some things that aren't necessarily things coming from Scripture, but just are things that I think make good sense, and then I'll get into some more biblical ideas as we go along. And I've already given you the first suggestion for our list in making change. Spend some time analyzing why you do the thing that you're trying to stop doing. Okay? Understanding what leads you into sinful behavior can be a good first step. And then there's a related suggestion for my second one. Know your triggers. Know your triggers. Typically, with these behaviors, there are situations or people or feelings that trigger us to desire the action we're trying to stop. And if you know what your triggers are, you might be able to avoid some of those things. For example, if you know that when you are around people who are drinking alcohol, it's almost impossible for you to not get drunk, then don't be around people who are drinking alcohol if you can help it. That is an avoidable trigger. So avoid the things that trigger you if that's possible. Some triggers are probably unavoidable, but still, knowing those can help you as you are conscious of what's going on inside of you, and this can give you a greater shot at success. John Piper's done some writing on the subject of gluttony that I think can apply to really any of these scenarios. He says that when you're trying to avoid the temptation to overeat, the battle must be fought mainly not with the word no. Chris, let's get this next slide up. Sorry. There it is. The battle must be fought mainly not with the word no, but with an alternative yes. So he suggests that we need to involve ourselves in other activities that are good and motivating and exciting so that when we're tempted to bad behavior, we can substitute the sinful behavior with something else that you enjoy. And there are all kinds of fun and satisfying things to be involved in life. Part of living for God means learning which of those fun activities are healthy and which are not healthy for us. And then by all means, be involved in the healthy ones. And when you're tempted to do something unhealthy, substitute it with something else that's both motivating for you and healthy. And then I'll grab the phrase, involve ourselves in things, to lead us into my next point, which is that just being involved in good activities, staying busy, can help us stay out of trouble. Get involved in church activities and other good things. Sometimes when we have too much time on our hands, that's when we start getting into trouble. Next suggestion. Attack the things in life that stress you out. Attack the things in life that stress you out. Stress is a very common trigger for sinful behaviors. Just as some triggers are avoidable and some are not, that's true for stress as well. Some stress is unavoidable in life, but there is avoidable stress. So analyze your life a little bit. Is stress leading you to behave in ways you don't want to behave? And if so, how can you eliminate some of your stress? There's no rule out there that says you got to work 60 hours a week, right? I'm thinking the God who created the Sabbath may not be fully in support of that. So if that's your situation, what can you do to change that? What else is causing stress in your life? Maybe there's stress that you have to face, but maybe not. You can ask God about those things and figure out what you can cut out. If stress is leading you into sin, look to attack the things in life that stress you out. And then about that unavoidable stress, I've got one word for you. Exercise. Exercise is a great stress reliever. And, of course, you know what else exercise is good for. Obviously, it's good for our physical health, but it's also definitely good for our mental health, our emotional health, even maybe our spiritual health. I actually pray somewhat routinely when I'm out on my nightly runs under the stars. So, yeah, please be involved in regular exercise. It can help you in so many ways. Next suggestion, get your life organized. Get your life organized. Okay, so if I go a long time, for whatever reason, without taking care of personal things like paying the bills, cleaning the house, the dirty dishes are getting moldy, right? The fish tank is getting full of algae. If I haven't been getting back to people that I was supposed to, or I haven't fixed the thing that broke in the basement, when my to-do list gets really long and starts to pile up, I can tell you how my body and my mind respond. I want to eat or sleep or do anything but look at that list, right? And my disorganization saps my energy. Makes me feel a little depressed even. And those things can be triggers for sinful behaviors. On the flip side, when I finally do get after that list and I make some good progress, I get energy from that. I start to feel better about my life. I feel healthier. So, yeah, getting your life organized can help your mental health and help you move from here to there. Of course, many, many people struggle with this, struggle with, things like keeping your house organized. It's a common problem. Take a look at these comments about living in clutter written by author Michael Cho. He says, whether it be your closet or office desk, excess things in your surroundings can have a negative impact on your ability to focus and process information. That's exactly what neuroscientists at Princeton University found when they looked at people's task performance in an organized versus disorganized environment. The results of the study show that physical clutter in your surroundings competes for your attention, resulting in decreased performance and increased stress. A team of UCLA researchers recently observed 32 Los Angeles families and found that all of the mothers' stress hormones spiked during the time they spent dealing with their belongings. Similar to what multitasking does to your brain, physical clutter overloads your senses, making you feel stressed, and it impairs your ability to think creatively. So if you're struggling to get free from some sinful behavior, maybe something as simple as organizing your life and home might help. Might help you start feeling better about yourself and lessen those emotions and things that are leading you into the sinful behavior. So try getting your life organized. We looked at John Piper's encouragement to substitute sinful habits with healthy, motivating activities. Here's a similar suggestion. Make sure you have a purpose. Each of us needs a purpose or two that brings satisfaction to our lives, and this can help so much with our mental health. And when our mental health is poor, that can lead us to getting stuck in sins. For some people, their purpose is raising kids, and that's a great purpose, albeit temporary. You probably ought to have another one. For many people, their purpose is their job. They're spending their energies and time helping the cause of a certain business or maybe their own business. Some people have jobs that pay the bills but don't really feel like a purpose, right? It's not giving you satisfaction. So really they're going to need something outside of their job to give them that sense of purpose and meaning. Of course, some people are unable to work either for health reasons or age reasons, and my suggestion there is to focus not on what you can't do, but on what you can. What could you do? And of course, my friends, if you are a member of the kingdom of God, which I know at least almost all of us are here today, if not all, then you already have been given a purpose. And it's a higher purpose than any job by itself could be. You have been called into God's amazing and great work on this earth. There are so many good things that can be done to serve people in the name of Jesus. So many causes that fit the definition of kingdom work, of being salt and light, of being hands and feet, of helping people find salvation through Christ. Shouldn't be hard to find something that you can do for the kingdom of God. And I'm certain that if you call out to God and ask him to bring you a purpose in that realm, he will answer that prayer. So yeah, you have been called into God's amazing and good work in this world. It's one of the greatest things about being a Christ follower, actually. You're given a purpose. Make sure you have a purpose. Keep moving through our list of possible helps here. Here's the next one. Think through who you're hanging out with. Yeah, who are your close friends? Are they helping you in your efforts to live a godly lifestyle, or are they hindering? If you need to make changes, make changes. Seek to develop some good friendships with fellow Christ followers. And then here's another way where a relationship with a fellow Christ follower can help move you out of a particular sin. Find a Christ-following friend you trust and ask them to hold you accountable. Couple Bible verses to consider on this one. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Jesus talked about bringing things into the light in John chapter 3. He said, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they've done has been done in the sight of God." So confession, accountability, bringing your sin into the light. And by the way, do that with trusted people, not just anybody out there, but trusted people, hopefully Christ followers. These are God-given tools for helping us get over sins that we're stuck in. If your goal is to move from here to there, and to make a change in your life, but you're having trouble, find a fellow Christ follower you trust and ask them to hold you accountable. And then another suggestion. Do you know why we call the building a block and a half south of here the powerhouse? It's because we serve a powerful God, maker of the universe. Maybe we should be including him in these efforts to rid ourselves of sin. The Bible has told us that when we made a decision to give our lives over to Christ, God's Holy Spirit came to live within us. And in John 14:26, Jesus taught that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said. The Holy Spirit is our helper. So call out to God to help you with these sins that are tripping you up. Let's for sure be certain to be praying to God, asking him to use his power to free us from our sinful behaviors. Next suggestion. Remain in him. Remain in him. John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So there's another phrase you could use then for achieving the kind of lifestyle we're discussing today, and that's bearing fruit. Do you want your life to look more godly? Well, that means you want your life to be bearing godly fruit, showing the results of what comes from growing closer to him, and that's accomplished by remaining in Jesus. And that means everything you think that it means. Regular study of the Bible, seeking to apply his teaching to your life. It means regular times of, you know, serious prayer, listening for his voice. It means regularly lifting your spirit up to him in worship. We talked about that last Sunday. Coming to church to hear the word of God preached. It means thinking about God and offering little prayers, you know, little ones too, throughout the day, not just at church or in those more designated times for prayer. And as you remain in Jesus, you will learn and begin to feel your true identity as an incredibly worthwhile masterpiece of the Creator God. Jesus will whisper to you of his love for you and his purpose for you. And as you do that, you eventually find that your need for escape and distraction that's been driving you to sin has lessened. Or maybe it's disappeared altogether. Jesus said that when you learn from him and you soak his teachings into your life, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So remain in Jesus. Oh, and by the way, Bible study and prayer, having regular connections with God, also a great stress reliever, right? When I'm troubled by things, if I make myself go to the Lord about that issue and spend a good amount of time with him in prayer, I come away from that experience typically with clearer thoughts and often peace about how to proceed and handle that. So this is Here's a bonus benefit on this one, all right? Bible study and prayer can also be a great stress reliever. Down to my final two suggestions, and they'll be fitting ones to close with. The first one is that you need to remember that God's grace has already covered you. God's grace has already covered you if you have made a commitment to follow Jesus in your life. You may still be struggling to rid yourself of sins, but you've already been made free of their penalty by the merciful sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. That freedom was fully applied to you at the moment of your salvation. So go ahead and let yourself feel that freedom. You can't be any more forgiven and loved than you already are. So let that soak in. I would think that when we sit and realize just what Jesus has done for us there, it ought to create within us a great deal of love and appreciation for him. So then let that love for Jesus motivate you to keep working to get rid of the sins that are still clinging on. You're forgiven and free. Praise the Lord. Amen. Remember, God's grace has already covered you. And then my last one. Final suggestion for you today is simply to keep trying things until you find something that works. When I was trying to get myself into running regularly, I had to keep adjusting and keep trying different things to find what worked for me in my schedule. I kept after that, and eventually running became a habit for me. And I don't think it's different with ridding ourselves of sin. We have to keep trying these things until we discover the right combination that will bring success. And of course, I'd suggest prioritizing the items on the list that involved God and His work in your life. Well, it's one thing to know God's good standards for human living and to even agree with them. But it's an entirely different thing for us to be able to get ourselves to the point of living consistently by them. I do hope that you found some nuggets amongst all these suggestions I've given you this morning, that there will be some things there that help. And by the way, if you'd like a copy of that full list, come and talk to me after the sermon. I'll get you one, and I'll link it to the website too, you website listeners. But yeah, we need to keep pushing on this stuff. It takes effort. Fight to live according to the way God is asking you to live. You will be blessed for it. Your children will be blessed for it. Your spouses and friends and church family and others you interact with regularly will be blessed the more you're living in the way God desires you to live. We can have victory. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength.